The Holy Spirit. Lessons on the Holy Spirit this quarter. Holy Spirit's kind of a lingering third member of the Godhead. We all know God. We all know Jesus. And it's sometimes, if we're not careful, it's kind of like the Holy Spirit's just kind of over here, and the other two are over here and up front. I've yet to hear anybody really pray to the Holy Spirit. Dear Holy Spirit, bless us today. But it's kind of like the Holy Spirit is equal, but yet just kind of off by himself. Now, I want you to think back when you're in high school or college and you're dating. Y'all remember those days? And so somebody said, well, you ought to go out with this guy, or maybe you ought to go out with this girl. And the question you always ask was, well, what do they look like? Or are they nice looking? And what is the answer you didn't want to get?
He's a great personality.
Great personality. You see, that's a... That was the slam of all slams. Well, he's really, he's kind of nice and everything, but oh, he has a great personality. Right? Well, what's the title of our lesson today? Personality of the Holy Spirit. Do you get the picture? Here's God, here's Jesus, and here's this person that has a great personality. Now, I'm telling you, good morning. If you'd have been just 2 minutes earlier, you'd have got a dollar bill. But Walu got it.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
She'll share.
Yeah, see. So here we have God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the guy that has a great personality. So I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is just kind of a forgotten, lesser, if we're not careful, member of the Godhead. Now, I think the problem is that the Holy Spirit doesn't have a name. God, you know, Rob and I have the privilege of teaching on the names of God. He's got about 314 names. And Jesus has quite a few names. Would it change your outlook on the Holy Spirit if his name was Henry? And then we talked about God, Jesus, and Henry. Would that change your outlook at all on the Holy Spirit?
Nothing wrong with the Holy Spirit.
Okay. See, I kind of like the name Henry. And I'll show you why in just a little bit. In the Bible, if you're looking for the ultimate time that the Holy Spirit shines, where would that be? Pardon? Who said that? Correct answer. Very good. In the upper room. That's the epitome of the shining of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, what happened in the upper room? What did the Holy Spirit do in the upper room?
I just remember the picture of fire coming on these guys' heads in the Bible stories.
Okay, that's exactly right.
That's
what the picture. Yeah. What are the picture? What do you get the picture of what happening in the upper room after 40 days? What did the Holy Spirit do? Come on, give me an answer. What's your picture? Right or wrong, what's your picture? What do you think happened? Morning. How are you doing? Good.
Anointed.
You get $2.
No, but I've been here before. I know.
I changed the rules.
You made me feel like how long
it's Walu gets $1. Diane misses $1. But you get $2. That's just the way it works.
So this encourages me to not come for a long time or to come more often.
Just depends on my mood. When you're the teacher, you get to make the rules. See, there. All right, come on. What happened in the upper room? What's your picture of the work of the Holy Spirit in the upper room? Roger says he just remembers the fire coming down.
I think what really happened was the final submission of these people to recognize God and to be His will and to do whatever.
Okay.
Okay,
all right. We pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon us as it did in the upper room. Am I correct?
Yes.
Do we hear that in our prayers? Well, what are we praying for?
I think it was a revealing of the true purpose of Christ coming to the earth.
Okay. Yes.
He gave us the gifts we needed to do the work.
Pardon me?
He gave us the gifts we needed to do the work.
Okay. All right. What did He do in the upper room that was so special that we pray for? We pray for that same experience. What was that? God, speak up.
To be on fire for the
Lord. Okay. All right. Now, here's my picture of what I think that most of us thought happened in the upper room. How many days were they there? 40. And so on the 40th day, they came to what? What does the Scripture say that happened with the people in the upper room?
One accord.
One accord, right? What does one accord mean?
Good question. Yeah, what
does
it
mean? No idea.
Huh?
Randy has no idea.
No idea.
Good question, no idea.
Yeah, that's right.
It's unity, but what does that unity mean?
Yeah, that's exactly. They came to an agreement on something. So maybe it was on what color the carpet ought to be in the new church. See, I don't. But they came to an agreement on something, and then the Holy Spirit came down. Now, y'all laugh at me, and some of you look very quizzical when I said I'm going to name the Holy Spirit Henry. See? So, under some people's thinking, the Holy Spirit came down, filled them up with power, and just moved them to do great things. Is that kind of a fair assessment of kind of what we've looked at the power of the Holy Spirit? Just sitting there, and then all of a sudden, the fire comes from heaven, the tongues of fire, and it empowers them, and they jump up, and now they have power. Has anybody ever been to Assembly of God, which or Pentecostal, when the Holy Spirit came into the church?
Well, we've heard the speaking in tongues.
Okay.
But I didn't feel
the
Holy Spirit.
Okay, yeah. Gary Rustad, who used to be the pastor here at this church at one time, many moons ago, him and I were student call porters in Big Spring one summer. And I guess I can tell this story. They had church in Big Spring on Sabbath afternoon at 2 o'clock, regular church. Now, when you're about 20 years old, and it's summertime, and you wake up on Sabbath morning about 8 or 9 o'clock or whenever you wake up, waiting around for church is an eternity for 2 o'clock. So we played David and Goliath in the mornings, Sabbath morning. Who would like to guess what David and Goliath was? Tennis. We just named it a Bible game and went and played tennis. Now, that has nothing to do with the lesson. But Gary Rustad and I were student call porters, and so one of the things we like to do, selling the Bible story and Desire of Ages, is on Wednesday nights, if we had no appointments, we would go to different churches. Good morning. How are you folks doing? Good to see everybody. So, one Wednesday night, we went to the Pentecostal church. And the Holy Spirit came into that church. And they were speaking in tongues. And Pentecostal people, they're very sincere. And I know lots of nice Pentecostal people. I have never felt like I was in the midst of the devil as I did that Wednesday night. And Gary and I got up and left. Is that the Holy Spirit working?
With you, maybe.
Pardon?
Maybe with you, because you got up to leave.
Could be. You see, we in the upper room, we think, were the disciples different on the 40th day than they were the 39th day?
Could be.
Could be. See, we kind of think that all of a sudden they become on one accord, whatever that word means, and then the Holy Spirit came in and empowered them. And then all of a sudden they jump up and they become new creatures, and Peter goes out and he preaches and he gets 3,000 converts in one day. If that is your concept of the Holy Spirit, I believe that perhaps we've missed the boat. So I think it's important for us to look and see what happened in that 40 days. And what does one accord mean? And exactly what did the work of the Holy Spirit do? When Jesus was with the disciples in his 3.5 years of ministry, what was the only thing per se they were interested in, the disciples? What were they interested in?
When you're going to establish your kingdom.
And what kind of a kingdom were they looking for him to establish?
An earthly
kingdom. And what was their greatest desire in this earthly kingdom?
A cabinet member.
A cabinet, that's right. They wanted to be that position. Even got their mother involved, a couple of them, to go in and talk to Jesus. So they had no concept, which is unbelievable. For 3.5 years, they watched him preach, they watched him heal, they watched him comfort, they watched him with the little children. They watched all of this and completely missed the boat. Their only desire was to be high in the new kingdom. Now, Jesus dies and crucified. What do you think this did to them?
Crushed. We've just wasted the last 3 years.
Yeah, wiped everything they had away. Every concept they had away. Jesus comes and he appears to them after the resurrection, cooks them some fish, spends some time, goes to heaven. Now they sit in a room, in an upper chamber, leaders of the church, the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventist, and they sit in a room for 40 days. What do you think they thought about during that 40 days? What do you think their conversation was like?
I think they sang.
Pardon?
I think they sang songs.
Okay.
I think they rehashed those 3.5 years. You remember when they did what? No. What is,
yeah.
Remember when he did this? What is it? Why? How did he do it?
Yeah. If everything that you had was taken away, and you're in a group of like people, what would be your conversation? Wow. I think
they would focus on the closing scenes. I think they would focus on the cross.
Okay. In what way, y'all?
Making sense of it with the scriptures also.
The Lamb of God.
Okay.
But wasn't there rejoicing as well because they saw...
Pardon me?
Wasn't there rejoicing as well? They saw Christ. They saw Him raised.
Yep.
There was...
Yeah. And where did they see Him go? Left them. The disciples are confused, wondering, what have we missed? What did we went wrong? Our picture isn't correct. So when you come to situations like that, what do? You go back and you start analyzing. Morning. You start analyzing and you start figuring out, what did we miss? Now, here's an important question. During the first 39 days, is the Holy Spirit there?
Yes.
You sure? And if He is there, then what is He doing?
Helping them understand, working with them, doing what the Holy Spirit does.
Yeah. Do you see why it's important to look at the Holy Spirit as Henry? You see, if we think of the Holy Spirit as a spirit, Holy Ghost, something nebulous just out there, that changes His entire job. If you think of the Holy Spirit as a person, just as Jesus is a person, the Father is a person.
How did that word ghost get in there?
I don't know. You see, changes the picture. Now, let's jump back. We will come back to the upper room in a minute, but let's jump back to John the Baptist. John the Baptist is in prison. What do you think's gone through his mind as he sits there in prison?
Was I mistaken?
Pardon? Yeah. What did Jesus say about John the Baptist? None greater. Wow. There's Moses and Elijah up in heaven saying, whoa, just a minute, what about us? None greater. And yet he's sitting in prison. And so what happens to John while he's in prison? What happened?
Got his head chopped off.
Huh?
Head chopped off.
Yeah, but before that, while he's in prison, what's going through his mind?
He started
doubting. Yeah. Hey, just a minute. If this is the guy is the Messiah, happens to be my cousin, and he's doing all of these things, why am I, who's been the most faithful of all of them, who went out into the wilderness and said the Messiah's coming, who was one of the few to even recognize the Messiah when he walked up to the River Jordan, who had the privilege of baptizing the Messiah. If this is really the Messiah, why am I in here? Why me? You know, here again, this was the theme of my sermon last week at the Filipinos, is, man, for us to sit here and wonder why things happen to us, and we come back with the stock answers, or just have faith, or trust God, He'll take care of it. You know, those are trite answers. True, but they're still trite when you're going through the problem. And so John says, why me? I'm not sure this guy's even the Messiah. So he calls his disciples over, and what did he tell his disciples to do? Go ask him. Go double check. This is whom Jesus said there was none greater. And so the disciples go to Jesus and says, our good friend John is in prison. You're doing nothing about it. Are you the one? Now here's the amazing thing. Jesus immediately whips out the Old Testament and goes right to the 2300 day prophecy. Right? No. He said, by the way, one of the greatest witnessing tools, or one of the most scariest witnessing tools a human being can have is, come and spend the day with me. How would you like that? Roger, I'll pick on you. Somebody says, are you a Christian? Well, come and spend the day with me.
I would like it.
Well, good. See, I'd be forced sometimes to say, but block off hour 1 through 3. I got a meeting with my superior. Yeah, come and see me. Come and see what I do. Wow. No doctrine. No Bible study. No scripture proofs. Watch me. And he came back. John told John. Now, here's the part, the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of Henry. We're told then that the angels and the Holy Spirit, Henry, then sat with John and took him back to Genesis and walked him through the Old Testament. And with a new set of eyes, John the Baptist saw this was the Messiah. And he's rewarded by how?
By
getting his head cut off. You see what happened in the upper room. On the 40th day, there was no majestic outpouring of Henry upon the disciples in the upper room, that all of a sudden they began change and they had power. It's kind of like they opened their mouths and we pour the Holy Spirit down and it lifts them up and now they have power. No. The Holy Spirit in the upper room every day was leading them back to the passages that they had memorized, they had read all of their life, but with a different set of eyes. And Henry, the Holy Spirit, began to teach them in that upper room, and they would say, wow, how did we miss this? How did we miss Isaiah? How did we miss this passage in Ezekiel? And then as they talked among themselves, they began to understand that Jesus, good morning, that Jesus was not talking about an earthly kingdom, that he was talking about the kingdom. And as they began to understand, and they began to pray, and they began to have their eyes open, then they became on one accord, understanding, we walked with God Himself. We were with God. And once they understood that, no magical power from the Holy Spirit, no, let's open up your mouth and pour this energy drink down your throat. Once they understood that, they said exactly what we have to say when we come across God and God blesses us and He opens up our eyes and we see what He's done for us. We've got to go tell somebody. And so they sat in the upper room and they understood we were with God. And Peter says, wow, I betrayed Him 3 times and all He did was look at me with a look of love. And Peter says, I remember so much that when he saw Mary, he said, Mary, go tell all the disciples and Peter. And this was God. And no matter how I treated God, look what He did for me. I've got to go tell somebody. And no wonder Peter went out, not empowered with a great energy drink, not empowered with the Holy Spirit poured down his throat, the Holy Spirit in his veins, the Holy Ghost picking him up. He was empowered with, this is what God has done for me. I've got to tell somebody. For us as a church, for us as a denomination, for us as a person to sit around and say, God, pour your Spirit upon me as you did there in the upper room. Meanwhile, I'm going to sit on my rear end until you empower me is a joke. So that's why the concept of the Holy Spirit, Henry, is absolutely important. Because if we look at it as an entity, what's the word I'm looking for? Good thing I don't have to make a living talking. Yeah. Is waiting to pour that energy drink down us, we'll be waiting forever. Pardon me?
Or get a false energy.
Absolutely. Now, why did Jesus say, I'm going to leave you, but oh, you are so... You ever have a girl, for guys, you ever have a girl break up for you, with you? I know y'all think it's impossible, but actually happened to me. And what's the line they always use? It's not you. It's me. Like, oh, well, that takes care of everything. See? Yeah. So why did Jesus say, oh, look, folks. It's a good thing I'm leaving. Because the Holy Spirit's coming. Now, why did He say that? Why did He say that? First of all, did He say that? Yep. Why? The word Holy Spirit used in Greek, the Comforter, which by the way is a much better name, means, the Greek word is paraclete. Paraclete. Paraclete means one who walks beside you. And Jesus says, I'm leaving, but the paraclete is going to come. The one who will walk beside you. And that's the picture of Henry, otherwise known as the Holy Spirit. One who walks beside you. How would you interpret that?
Friend.
Friend? How else would you interpret that?
Counselor.
Counselor. Does the Holy Spirit, Henry, lead you?
Right.
Huh?
You said he walks beside you, but
does he push you? Does he shove you? Does he tie a rope around your neck and drag you? No. He just walks beside you. That's exactly right. So the picture of Henry, the Holy Spirit, is one who simply walks beside you. He's not a nebulous power up in the air. He's not a ghost circling around. He's not an energy drink just waiting to enter your body and supplement you and pick you up and take you places you've never been. He's just a friend who walks beside you. Now, when you're out walking with a friend, what kind of experience do you have?
Communicate?
Absolutely. What else do you do as you're walking with a friend? You share? You talk? Pardon?
Enjoy life together.
Enjoy? Ask questions? That's what Henry does. By the way, same work that Jesus does. Jesus says in Revelation, I stand at your door, and what does he do? Door-to-door salesman. And what do you have to do?
Open the door.
Yeah. Harry Anderson drew the picture, no doorknob on the outside. You've got to open up the door.
That conversation that you have usually is something that you have in common.
Yeah. So, here comes Henry. Walking along beside you. And you say, Henry, I've got a problem. What do friends say? I have a problem. What do good friends say?
How can I help?
Yeah. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The greatest teaching tool in the Bible on how to witness is Jesus' walk to Emmaus with the two disciples. This is a picture of Henry, the Holy Spirit. Jesus catches up with these two guys. They're sad. They're talking. They hardly even notice him. And Jesus asks, what? What does he say to them? Have y'all heard of the 2300-day prophecy? Excuse me, are y'all looking for the true church? Do you have any idea what the mark of the beast is? What did he say? What's going on? And what did they say? Haven't you heard? Where have you been? Don't you watch Fox News? We just had an election. Haven't you heard, man? Everything we had religious has just been wiped away. Haven't you been paying attention? And what did Jesus do? Did he call them idiots? Did he tell them, how can you miss the boat?
Told them a story.
He took them back to what? The Old Testament. And said, when you read this passage, what did you think? Well, Baba, what have you ever thought of this? And all the way, he kept taking them back to the Scriptures and explaining the Scriptures to them. And when they got to their house, they said, what? Come and eat with us. And then when he passed the bread, they saw the prince in his hands. They knew who he was. Do you see? That's Henry. The Holy Spirit. That's his job. He comes along and says, I'm a comforter. I'm walking with you. And as questions arise, I'm going to lead you into the paths that bring the truth. But I'm going to be walking alongside you. I'm not going to coerce you. I'm not going to drag you. I'm not going to preach at you. But I'm going to be there to converse. And when you ask questions, every once in a while, Henry's going to say, wow, I thought you'd never ask that. I'm so glad you did. Let me show you. Here's something that you need. Do you remember when? And that's why Jesus said, it's a good thing I'm leaving. Because Jesus took on our humanity. Those nail prints will be there for eternity. Morning. See, those that say, every once in a while I do run across somebody who says, oh, well, when we get to heaven, we won't remember anything down here. Well, what are you going to do with those nail prints? It's not that we don't remember, it's that we fully understand. And there's a big difference. So as a concept, sometimes we have been led to believe, or our picture has been, that the Holy Spirit is this big power that comes into our lives and enforces us to do things that are correct. God does not work that way. He never uses force. You cannot force somebody to love you. You cannot force somebody to like you. But he said, I'm going to send you a paraclete. One that will walk beside you. Who will be your friend. And that's why I like the name Henry. For my Holy Spirit. Because, see, I can visualize me and Henry walking down the path together. The Holy Spirit responds when we ask Him. The Holy Spirit responds when we want truth. The Holy Spirit responds when we are searching. And He can hardly wait to have those conversations. Hardly wait to lead us into the paths. He can hardly wait to instruct us. But it must be us. You know, sometimes we get way far ahead. You know, David said that thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Nowadays we have powerful, powerful lights. But David was very simply saying, a light unto my feet. What happens in a path when you have just a little lantern and you're walking in the dark? How much can you see ahead? Not very far. Just one step at a time. That's what Henry the Holy Spirit does. He leads us one step at a time. He doesn't look 100 miles down the road in our journey. He takes us one step at a time. And we say, you know what? I kind of stumbled over that step. Well, nothing wrong with that, Henry says. Let's kind of go over it one more time. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit in our lives. Absolutely. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit in our church. Absolutely. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit in our denomination. Absolutely. But not just sitting around waiting for a power. That power comes from within. That power begins with each one of us until the Holy Spirit illuminates the life of Christ in us, what God has done for us, and we come to the conclusion, as did Peter and the upper room, I've got to go tell somebody. And then the Holy Spirit, Henry, begins his walk with that person. You see, so many times we feel like it's our responsibility to tell people truth. It's our responsibility to tell people what they're doing wrong. It's our responsibility to make sure they get on the right path. Our responsibility is to introduce them to God. And then God says to them, I want you to meet my son, and I want you to meet Henry. And Henry is going to walk down the path with you. That's our responsibility. Are there any questions or observations?
I have a question.
Certainly.
I have prayed for my sons and asked that the Holy Spirit just, as a mother, honor my request, even if they're not searching, that they walk beside.
Okay.
Is that biblical?
First of all, there's nothing wrong with it, but what do you think that the Holy Spirit should do? That's the question. You pray for your son, and I believe this is very personal, so I'm not taking it lightly. I'm very personal. We all do that. But what do you want the Holy Spirit to do?
Well, to be a balance to the
evil spirits
that might be around in their lives.
And how do you envision that happening?
Impressing their minds with remembering how the child.
That's all he can do. But let me tell you, he'll knock on your, is this your son? He'll knock on your son's door till his knuckles bleed. That's a promise. God has promised that. But that's all we can do. You see, the good news is God has free will. The bad news is God has free will. Because sometimes we'd like for the other concept of the Holy Spirit, you know, to get into that boy's life and just pick him up and change him. You know what I mean? See, that's kind of what we'd like to see. It just doesn't happen that way. But the Holy Spirit will knock and knock and knock and knock till his knuckles are bleeding.
Well,
that we know.
Knowing that the Holy Spirit is in their lives has helped me just also yes. pray and say, thank you, God. I don't worry for them as I used to.
Yes.
Because I just give them up to God. Because I can't do it.
No,
I
can't do it.
But
can't
I
do it.
Pray to God yeah. that they meet the right people.
Yeah. yeah. God will do everything in his power to bring people. And he's be so successful. I mean, this is not comforting, but it's a fact that when the great panoramic view comes, every knee will say, God, you were just. God, you did everything you could do. That's his promise to us. So when we pray, and we should pray, and there's something, I don't want to get off into prayer, but there is something about prayer that allows God to do things that maybe he wouldn't do. That's an entirely different subject. But certainly pray. But the bottom line is, the appeal will be there. The appeal will be there. That's it. Good question. Anybody else? Yes?
I'm still a little confused.
Well, that's I'm good at that.
You said the Holy Spirit was with them there, working with them in the sure. group those days. And he walks with us. What was the significance of Pentecost? What do you think happened at that time?
Oh, okay. Good question. The disciples understood through the leading of the Holy Spirit in the upper room what the true mission of God was and that he actually was God. Pardon?
I think some of them understood that before.
They heard it, but did they understand it? If so, why weren't they all at the cross?
Well, some of them were.
Only John. The rest of them ran. See, they never understood who God was. Remember on Thursday night at the foot washing, what was the topic of discussion? Who was going to sit on the left and right of Christ?
So you think that it was simply that they arrived at a conclusion Jesus was God?
Absolutely.
And what did the Holy Spirit have to do with that?
He led them daily through the Old Testament.
Fire and all that.
Yeah, the tongues of fire, what was that?
Nice metaphor. Nice metaphor. The Holy Spirit led them daily back into the Old Testament as they went through the Scriptures. Pardon me?
You don't believe there was any visual apparition?
Certainly there was.
And it wasn't just metaphor?
No. It was a visual, but it wasn't that the Holy Spirit empowered them on day 40 to go do something. It was the work of the Holy Spirit for 40 days that led them to the conclusion. This was God.
But what gave them the power to speak language?
The fact that they saw that this was God and their hearts were open, that the Spirit now could work with them. Up until that time. Up until that time, what message did the disciples have for the world?
Well, they were told to wait for the Holy Spirit.
Yes. What message did they have for the world?
Jesus.
Nothing. No. Nothing. They had no message. They didn't even know themselves. But once they understood, this was God.
So they had these languages in them, so they just started speaking to them because they understood.
Well, that was a way of God reaching out. Yeah. See, but what happened in the upper room, that's my point of my lesson. If we're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come and pick us up off our rear ends and do something, we'll be waiting till Christ comes.
So they shouldn't have sat in the upper room. They shouldn't have been out trying to do that.
No, they should have sat in the upper room and did exactly what they did. Go back and study the Scriptures and find out what did we miss. We were with Jesus for 3.5 years. The only thing we thought was he was going to set up an earthly kingdom. Obviously that was wrong. What did we miss? That's what they did. We need to set as a denomination. Have we done, well, let's pare it down. As a church, have we done what we're supposed to in the world as a denomination? then we need to sit just as the disciples and say, what have we missed? I'm out of time. Appreciate you all's time. Father in heaven, pray that you'll bless us. Pray that we'll ponder these things. Pray that we'll ask the Holy Spirit to walk beside us and lead us into the truths. In Jesus' name, amen.